Okay, thank you, Sister Darl. Before we start our lesson, mga kapatid, let's go to our Father in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our mighty Heavenly Father, always gracious, always merciful, full of love, Lord, we bow our heads now to you in humble manner and thanking you once again, Lord, for the many blessings. For the physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us each and every day, our health, most importantly, the food that we have on our tables, clothing, and shelter, Lord, even in these tough times, Lord. We also thank you for the technology, a tool that you have given us, allowing us to be connected virtually with our brothers and sisters so that we can study together. We thank you for the spiritual blessings in your Son, Jesus, and the salvation that we have in him. Lord, thank you to your holy word in which you have given to us, Lord, your wisdom. Please bless me now, Lord, as I share the word to my brothers and sisters, Lord. Give us all the understanding, the wisdom that comes from you as we go over this lesson, Lord. May it give us lessons that we can take, that we can apply in our lives, and lessons that we can share to others, Lord. And at this time, we continue to pray for the people who are affected by the pandemic, Lord, those who are sick, and everyone that has other illnesses, Lord, and a number of them are brothers and sisters who are sick. Please extend to them, Lord, your healing hands, Lord, if you're willing. Same for our doctors and nurses all over the world, which a number of them are also some of our brothers and sisters who are taking care of many people. Now, we pray that you strengthen their health and protect them from getting sick themselves. We also continue to pray for the victims or those who are affected by the typhoons in the Philippines. And please bless our brothers and sisters who are involved in the work over there for delivering some relief goods to those who are affected, Brother Dino, for example, and some brothers and sisters in different parts of the Philippines who are doing the same thing. We hope that with our actions, Lord, many will come to you. Many of those who are lost will come to you and find salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we hope that even in these difficult times, us, your children, those who call ourselves Christians, Lord, and those who have been baptized in your Son, Jesus, will view it as a call to be even closer to you, Lord, and see these tough situations as a way, Lord, to reach out to a lot of people who are hurting. Guide us now as we study. Please forgive us from our sins. All of these now we offer in this prayer. In the sweetest name of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay. So nice po kayong lahat batiin. Mga kapatid, once again, good afternoon po from Los Angeles. To everyone listening through your own gadgets from wherever you are. Good evening to everyone listening from the East Coast, both the East Coast of U.S. and Canada. Good morning naman po to everyone listening in the Philippines and all around Asia. I hope everyone's doing well and still keeping the faith despite the situation we are in. It's such a different time now that we have these days, and maybe the next year as well. It may even extend to the next year even. With the vaccine, you know, na merong mga controversy with yung vaccine na didistribute. So we all, pinapaubaya natin sa Panginoon. We all take it to the Lord. He's the one in control. So let's go straight to our lesson this evening, mga kapatid, or at this time, since it's different time zones. The title of the lesson for tonight is, Whose Side Are You On? In yung title natin, it's a question. Whose side are you on? Especially in a time where we differentiate or associate ourselves with various groups, right? It can be politically, right? Or it can be racially, which is a big thing here in the U.S. or it may be economically, right? Whose side are you on? This lesson will come from the book of Joshua, kung nahulaan niyo na yung kung saan na kuha or ano yung inspiration doon sa drawing na pinost ko po sa Facebook, no? That will come from Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and this will be the scripture that we keep coming back to, no, sa lesson po natin tonight. I will be using the New King James Version mostly for this lesson, maybe a few from ESV or NIV, but most of the time I will be using the New King James Version. So Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. And it come to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. All right, so it's such a short scripture, mga kapatid, 3 verses lang siya, but there are many points that we can take from this scripture. And this was a time when Israel was going to take the city of Jericho. Because titignan po natin after verse 15, you know what's going to happen, right? We just skim through that section of the scriptures. This was when Joshua and the people of Israel are going to take the city of Jericho, right? Yung familiar story of the walls of Jericho going down, right? The people of God, right? The Israelites at that time, they have left Egypt, right? And then they entered the promised land called Canaan at the time. And they're getting ready to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days, as God commanded them, right? Kumbaga, it's in a way to spearhead their invasion of the promised land. They were to blow their trumpets that the 7th day, blow their trumpets and shout so the walls would come crashing down. And all of these events would be found in the next chapter, right? Most of them in the next chapter, in Joshua chapter 6. But leading before this event is the scripture that we read in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, right? So sometimes we, at least for me, you know, we overlook this little event right here in chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. So, in context, the context of what's happening here in this scripture, just as a background leading to these events, the people of Israel have been wandering the desert for 40 years, right? It was a long time of wandering because they have refused to believe that God is the one in authority, right? They refuse to believe that God is sovereign and that He's in control and will give them the promised land. And after that, they even sent 12 spies to scout the land, and 12 of them, right? And 10 out of the 12 came back and said, "We can't do it," right? They're huge. You know, it's impossible to beat them. But the remaining 2 spies, right, which we know as Caleb and Joshua, said the opposite. Let's look at what they said in Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. And I don't know which of the two are talking, maybe the both of them combined. But here in verses 7 through 9 of Numbers chapter 14, they said, "And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread.' Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. All right. So they came back, right? Yung dalawa, Caleb and Joshua, they came back and they tried to convince the people of Israel to believe in God, right? Believe that they can go in and take the land, right? Because God can do the work. God is doing the work. He is the one that's in control. That's what it says in verse 8, right? Sabi nila, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. But it's too late, right? All the people can see is, you know, what the other 10 have told them. What the people can see is the obstacle in front of them. And so they chose to refuse to believe in God. And obviously, God was not pleased about their disobedience. And, you know, all the generation of those who came out of Egypt, if I'm not mistaken, all died in the desert, unfortunately, including Moses. And only Joshua and Caleb were left, right? And they were the ones left to lead the rest of Israel. So they came in, right? But they came into the land, the promised land, but they don't have possession of the land yet, right? So they are now getting ready, right? They just crossed the Jordan River. And another famous event, right? The parting of the Jordan River, just like, you know, they passed through Jordan River just as they passed the Red Sea, right? The body of water being split, and they crossed the Jordan River, and they finally encounter the massive walls of Jericho, right? So ito yung leading to the event that we just read in Joshua chapter 5. So now they are in front of these massive walls of Jericho. And I can imagine, siguro no, si Joshua, you know, he's looking at these, you know, massive walls, right? He's scouting it from a distance. And all of a sudden, he lifted his eyes and here is a man, right? Standing before him with his sword drawn. Diba? So yun yung sabi din sa binasa natin sa Joshua chapter 5. This man that he saw when he looked up, he has his sword drawn, right? Meaning, wala na siya dun sa casing niya. Anong kasing tawag dun? Nakalimutan ko muna yung tawag dun sa casing ng sword. But anyway, we read that in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Actually, let's read that again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? Right? So there it is. Right? All of a sudden he looked, and there's that man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. If you think about it, right, he was getting ready. Joshua was getting ready for a battle, right? And here's this guy, he doesn't know, right? Kumbaga, you just put yourself in Joshua's shoes, right? It's intimidating, right? If you think about that. I mean, any police officer or a soldier in war, right? Especially, there it is. I mean, when you're at war, right? You think you're at a safe place, right? And you're at a safe distance from your enemy. You're scouting the land with people around you, and you look up, and there's this guy in front of you who has his sword drawn, ready for battle. I mean, he's holding it, right? Wala na siya din sa case niya. It's not a sheath sword. It's drawn. So if you convert that in modern times, there's this guy, right, who has his hand already holding his hand, getting ready to, you know, motion to shoot. Now, na-imagine ko yung mga cowboys. Alam niyo po ba kung paano, you know, how cowboys duel, right? They have back-to-back sila, right? And they're gonna walk maybe like 10 steps, and then they have their hands ready, right, on their guns, you know, on their side, right? Talagang ready na sila to take the gun and shoot, right? So that maybe is what is happening there when Joshua saw this man in front of him, right? And understandably, Joshua was surprised. I mean, he was preparing for the battle to conquer the city of Jericho, right? And he was concerned with winning, and his mind was only set on only what lay ahead of him, right? He wants to win the war, right? So he was feeling the weight of the responsibility on his shoulders. So he asked, right? Are you for us or for our adversaries, right? In other words, whose side are you on, right? Whose side are you on, right? And he probably asked this question as he also grabbed his own sword. Ready na rin siyang, no, ipuhanin yung espada niya, no? He probably unsheathed too, right? As he asked this question, are you for us or for our adversaries, right? So if you're for us, you know, I don't know you, let's test you, you know, let's have a little skirmish here and see if you can hold your own, right? Or if you're against us, I'm ready to go to war right here and kill you, right? So if you think about that question by Joshua, are you for us or for our adversaries? Seems like an appropriate question, you know, given the situation he was in. You know, it's a legitimate question, diba, mga kapatid? It's an acceptable question to answer, but it also portrays a bias and a misunderstanding of what's going on. And that bias is that it's us or them, right? It's either you're for us or for them. That's the bias that he had in his mind. And it's not the right way to think about the world. And unfortunately, sometimes we are like this as well. We tend to differentiate ourselves within various groups, like I said in the beginning. We talked about politically, right? Yung election, it just came to pass, right? Republicans, Democrats, right? We try to differentiate ourselves. We associate ourselves within these groups. So that's politically. How about racially? That's a big thing here in the U.S., right? Blacks, whites, Asian, Hispanic, Latinos, right? Black Lives Matter, diba? That's a big thing here in the U.S. Or we differentiate ourselves economically. Rich, middle class, poor, right? Ay, mayaman ka, dyan ka lang. Ay, mahirap siya dyan. We try to differentiate ourselves. We try to associate ourselves within these groups, and we just can't help it, right? Maybe it's just human nature, right? Even amongst us Christians. And I think we've all been guilty of differentiating ourselves with these groups, with these earthly groups, so much that we even get involved in arguments over it. You know, just look at Facebook, right? Like I said, even our brothers and sisters get into arguments. You know, dapat si Trump ang manalo. You know, dapat si Biden ang manalo. You know, it's not a good way of thinking. So we Christians especially have to remind ourselves. As Christians, you know, we don't belong to these groups anymore. Sure, we can be affiliated with these groups, right? We have to sign up or, you know, to vote, you have to identify if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat. Sure, because that's the law, right? But as a Christian, spiritually, we can't associate ourselves with these earthly groups anymore. Democrats, Republicans, black, white, rich, middle class, rich, poor, right? Realize that as Christians, these are not the most important things anymore. So Joshua has this misunderstanding himself, right? Of this concept of it's us versus them, right? And then this strange man in front of him, with just one simple response, shatters that way of thinking. So again, Joshua's question was, are you for us or for our adversaries? And here is the man's answer. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, the first part of verse 14. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Right? So the man said, no. Right? I'm not for you. I'm not for them. Right? Joshua, your understanding of this situation, no, it's wrong. It's not you or them. You know, it's God. Right? Are you with God? Parang ganun siya, eh, di ba? That's a question for all Christians. Are you with God? Are you, so the question, are you with us or for our adversaries? He said, no, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. It's like, it was as if he was saying, I'm on a totally different assignment. You know, I belong to a totally different kingdom than you are and than those enemies of yours. You know, my duty is to do the mission that God gave me, right? So brothers and sisters, is your duty to do God's mission? If you're a Christian, you should realize that our battle is not with each other anymore. You know, our battle is against someone. You know, our weapons are not physical weapons anymore. I mean, look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? So our weapons, sabi niya, are not carnal. Right? It's not physical anymore. You know, our weapon is something more powerful. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some say it's another letter that Paul wrote. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Right? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's our weapon now. It's something even greater than physical, right? So let's go back to the question. Is your duty with God? Right? So when the man said to Joshua, no, I'm neither for you or them. You know, I am for God. I am the commander of the Lord's army, right? In a way, the man is reminding Joshua of what's more important. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right, so this is who we are against now, mga kapatid. We're not against each other. We're not against any earthly group, right? We are against Satan and his forces of evil, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And that's something that we have to think about, Malapit. You know, that's more important to think about. If you continue to read after verse 12, you see there that armor of God, right? We even have that whole theme for our youth in action not too long ago in our congregation, right? We have that theme for the whole year, last year. There's the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, praying and perseverance. These are our weapons now, right? So going back to Joshua chapter 5, the man says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I am for God, right? You might wonder, though, but isn't Joshua with God as well, right? Iba, mga kapatid, it's a good question, right? I mean, isn't Joshua with God too? You know, but the point is that it was not for Joshua to take God's allegiance for his cause. You know, no matter how righteous his cause was, God wants us for his cause, right? We don't have to pick sides amongst each other. We only have to pick God. And I think that's what Joshua overlooked. You know, he was so focused on his war when he should be thinking this is God's war, right? We have to stop treating each other like enemies. You know, forget those earthly arguments on whose side is right or wrong. You know, we're not carrying out any group's agenda, right? We're not carrying out the Democratic agenda or the Republican agenda, or kung nasa Pilipinas kayo, we're not carrying out the yellow agenda. Meron pa bang mga ganoon, mga kapatid? Yung mga dilaw. Mga dilawan, or the Duterte agenda or something like that. Anyway, we're not carrying out any of those earthly groups' agendas. We're carrying out God's agenda. It's not us or them, right? It's are you with the Lord or are you against the Lord? That's the most important question to consider. Now, going back to Joshua chapter 5, let's look at the reaction and the response of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, in the second part of verse 14, it says, Joshua 5, in the second part of verse 14, and Joshua fell on his face, the earth, and worshiped. Right. Joshua fell on his face and worshiped in reverence. Right now, as to who exactly this commander of the Lord's army is, we're not sure who it is exactly, right? But clearly, Joshua knew he's a powerful being. Some say he's an appearance of God himself. Some say he was an angel that was sent. One thing's for sure is that it was God who communicated an important message to Joshua, and Joshua recognized the authority of God. And he recognized that. He recognized that God is sovereign and he has the authority. And so he fell on his face in the earth and worshiped, right? So the same thing for us now, mga kapatid. Do we know that God is sovereign? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Right? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We can plan and plan and plan, right? As humans, we like planning, right? Political parties can plan their next strategy on how to one-up each other. Meron na ngang strategy daw na maybe in 4 years na eh, hahabol daw ulit si President Donald Trump. Meron na silang plans, mga kapatid, no? But these plans don't matter because in the end, the plans of the Lord are the ones that will stand, right? How about you, mga kapatid, brothers and sisters? Just like how Joshua recognizes the authority of God, do you also put the importance on following God more than any earthly group in the world, mga kapatid? You know, we are merely servants of God. You know, it's God who we have to serve. It's God who we have to serve, especially if you're a Christian, right? It's God who we have to serve. Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 26, John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." This is Jesus himself speaking, right? The Son of God. Serve me, Jesus says, right? Let's serve God. By serving Jesus, we serve God. The Bible tells us exactly how to serve him. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, right? We know this as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Right? Jesus said it very clearly, right? He's the one who has the authority both in heaven and on earth. You know, he didn't say make disciples of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or make disciples of, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or make Whatever it is, whatever earthly group it is. It says, Jesus said, make disciples of Jesus. Right? So we have to forego those deep-seated political ideologies or those deep-seated racial biases. Now, I've been thinking about it, minsan, may pagka-pride tayo being as Pinoy's, di ba? Yung Pinoy pride, naalala ko yung 2 years ago when a Filipino won the Miss Universe, I go there in the comment section and they cheer our candidate, and then all of a sudden they bash the other candidates. It's like, what is going on here? Support na lang, huwag na natin i-bring down yung ibang countries, things like that, right? It's human nature. We like to affiliate ourselves, like to differentiate ourselves within these groups, right? We have to forego all of these things, any earthly loyalty on any group. If you are a follower of Christ, right, be followers of Christ, period, and make disciples of Christ. Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, right, verses 26 through 29, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Right? Pwede natin ibahin yun. Neither Jew nor Greek, it can easily be, there are neither Apple supporters nor Android supporters anymore. Even as silly as that, makakapatid, di ba? Many debates. Ano bang mas maganda? Apple products or Android? Samsung, di ba? You name it. You name all the conflicting groups out there, politics. They are neither Republican nor Democrats. Yeah, those they don't matter anymore. If you've been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Right. So that means just focus on Jesus and what we have to do to serve Him. Jesus Himself showed, that these affiliations won't matter much anymore. If you look at John chapter 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, right? John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. Let's look at it, mga kapatid. The woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Right? So did you catch that, mga kapatid? All the people in different walks of life, right? Jews or Samaritans, it don't matter anymore. Jesus said, "The time will come." That time had come already, mga kapatid. We are in that time now, right? There's neither Jew or Samaritan anymore, Jew or Greek, right? If we apply that today, whatever the color of your skin is or whatever your political affiliation is, we all have the chance to be one nation, right? One body with Jesus Christ as the head, right? And that's the church, right? The body. Those who've been baptized into Christ, they're called Christians. Good news is that you are in the body of Christ now. So just don't forget that you're doing God's mission now, right? It's not us or them anymore. Or if you've not been baptized into Christ yet, we invite you to do so, and we want you to get to know Jesus Christ and be one of his people. Because that's the most important side, is God's side, right? And going back to Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, the second part of verse 14. Joshua chapter 5, in the second part of verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say? What does my Lord say to his servant?" Right. Joshua's question to the man was, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" I love that question, because Joshua realigns himself with God, right? He's been thinking, this is my war, you know. Then all of a sudden, here's the man said, "I am for God," right? "I am the commander of the Lord's army." And then he worshiped the Lord. And he asks, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Finally, he's now looking beyond the us and them, but finally wants to know what God wants him to do. And that's what we have to do as well, Makapatid. You know, in this world where it's so easy to choose a side and so easy to oppose the other side, with the political divide, the racial divide, the economic divide, you name it, wherever you are, it's the same thing. It's not just in the U.S., it's the same everywhere. I mean, we've been praying not too long ago about that war in Armenia and, you know, between Armenia and Azerbaijan, right? There was that war. I don't know exactly the details of that, but they've been at odds for a long, long time, right? But as a Christian, we have to think about what the Lord would want us to do. Just like Joshua's question, we have to look in the mirror and ask this question to ourselves: what does the Lord want me to do, right? The question is not, you know, what do I want to do? But the question is, what does the Lord want me to do? And as we learned so far, don't pick a side. Pick God's side, right? So the commander of the Lord's army answered the question in verse 15, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." Those were the instructions. And look at Joshua's response at the end, Makapatid. It's just a simple phrase, but look at the end of Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. "And Joshua did so," right? Joshua chapter 5, verse 15, "And Joshua did so." That simple action told us about Joshua's obedience. You know, he wanted to find out God's instructions. "Lord, what does the Lord want me to do?" Right? And he was told the instructions, and he did so. He did. He obeyed, right? Are we willing to obey God when told to? Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him," right? "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Last thing I want to do tonight is share with you this interesting excerpt from the last speech from Abraham Lincoln in 1865. So it's an old speech, you know, at the end of the Civil War between the North and the South. You know? Kung hindi kayo familiar, mga kapatid, I'll give you this background. Dun sa Civil War of the United States in 1860s. Right? It's a war between the North and the South, right? Merong war in the 1816 between the North faction, who was against the slavery, and the South faction, who was in support of slavery, right? So the slavery is the main thing. Meron pang, you know, other issues there, but the main thing there is slavery. North is against slavery. South is in support of slavery. It was a bitter war that killed hundreds of thousands of people. I believe around 600,000 are the casualties. And at the end of the war, President Abraham Lincoln delivered this famous speech. And part of that speech is this, mga kapatid, when he addressed the Civil War. Pakinggan niyo po, mga kapatid. It's just an excerpt from March 4, 1865, when he delivered this speech. He said, "Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered, and neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes." Right? And I love that. You know, the prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. Right? So he's saying, my love, that these two groups are locked in a battle, right? They both think the other as enemy, right? They both think that the other is enemy and they're the ones in the right. But God is the one who's behind the whole process, working something much larger and much bigger. You know, that God is the one who's judging nations, and he chose to send a war, and it was a war that both sides are guilty of. I mean, they killed both sides, man. 600,000 casualties, right? Both think they are righteous, but they're all at fault, right? And the work of God was that he was visiting judgment on all of them. And Abraham Lincoln got it. He realized that. He understood that there was something else at work, and it wasn't an us versus them. It was the Lord doing things in the world that we don't understand, right? In the same speech, he said, meron pa siyang sinabi, it's in a different section of the speech, but he said, "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills, that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsmen, 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another, drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Right? He said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Right? Inagpipray niya, you know, he hopes that the war shall pass away, right? But sabi niya, if this continues, so be it, you know. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Lincoln knew that God has his own plans, right? There was a war that killed both sides, sabi niya, right? Both pray to the same God, both think they're fighting for a right cause, but fail to realize that God is the one in control. Isn't that what's going on in Joshua's mind? Right? This is my war. Am I going to have to take the walls of Jericho? You know, it's either me or, you know, it's us or against them, against those enemies that I have. But there wasn't a righteous or an unrighteous side, but they were all guilty, right? In the Civil War, you know, they were all guilty. Isn't this the same thing happening today, Mahabatid? You know, thankfully, we're not at war with each other, especially in this country, you know. There's no Republican versus Democrat, or Black versus White versus Asian versus Hispanic, Latino, because all sides have sinned, right? All people have sinned, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think that's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, right? The only important side is God's side, and we have to pick his side. Right? Joshua finally realized this. Right? He stopped fighting his own battles and started fighting God's battles. He followed God's instructions. Circled around the city of Jericho. If you think about it, Marapatid, right? It seems so... kung titignan lang natin yun, how could circling around the city make sense? You know? But Joshua did it, right? Did it anyway because it's God, right? He circled around the city of Jericho for 7 days, blew trumpets and shouted, right? And the walls came crashing down. The battle belongs to the Lord, even though sometimes you don't understand, right? Why things are happening this way, right? But the battle belongs to the Lord, right? Let's look at the Lord's message in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Right? The battle is not yours, but God's. The battle belongs to the Lord. We have to fight in his battle. It's not this side or that side anymore. The important thing we have to think about is, are we in God's side or are we not in God's side, right? That's the most important question that we have to think about. I was reminded of the Bible study we had last night. We were reading Matthew chapter 11. Maybe let's go there. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. There was a situation here. I'm going to read it. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." All right, so on situation dito, mga kapatid, the situation is, or was, John the Baptist was in prison, right? He was in prison in Matthew chapter 4, right? He was in prison and he sent his disciples to ask the question in verse 3 to Jesus. Are you the coming one? Right? So if we think about it, why is he doubting? It seems like he's doubting Jesus, right? Wasn't he the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan, right? But somehow he's questioning Jesus right now. Are you the coming one or do we look for another, right? Because just like the apostles, I believe John was looking for this political Messiah that will finally bring Israel back in power to overthrow the Romans, right? But Jesus' response was here from verses 4 and 5. This is what you have to tell John, right? I heal the blind and the lepers, the deaf, and the dead are raised up. And look at the end of verse 5. At the end of verse 5, it says, go... Where is it? The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The gospel is preached to them. So it was as if Jesus was saying, you know, I'm not here to overthrow the Romans. You know, I'm here to preach the good news and do these humble acts of service, healing the sick, you know, healing the deaf, making the blind see, and preaching the gospel. Right? I'm not here for your political cause. I'm here to do God's work. Right? So that's what we have to do as well, mga kapatid. We're not supposed to go against each other anymore. Forget about your politics, your race, your economic standing in life, or any loyalties you have to any earthly group. We are Christians, and that's our loyalty. And we are supposed to fight Satan and his evil forces. That's what we have to do. Mga kapatid. So this is where we end our lesson. This is our lesson, mga kapatid. I hope that you taken something from it and something that, you know, maybe open your minds, your eyes on it and share it to others. Thank you for being with me. May God bless us all. And I will now bring it back to Sister Darla.
All right, thank you, Brother Ney. Bago tayo magpatuloy, let's have a break and hear this song, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning" by Acapel Ridge. Okay, wag po kayong alis. Magbabalik po kami ni Brother Ney after this song.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. to us, he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar, eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.